cheerful, badana, countenance, ambojam, lotus-like, padmagarbha, the interior of a lotus, aruna, ruddy, ikshanam, with eyes, nila utpala, blue lotus, dala, petals, shamam, swadhi, shankha, conch, chakra, discus, gada, club, dharam, bearing. Translation of Purple Point Divine Grace. Abhay Charan Arvind Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has a cheerful, lotus-like countenance with ruddy eyes, like the interior of a lotus, and a swarthy body like the petals of a blue lotus. He bears a conch, discus, and a mace in three of his hands. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, as a cheerful, lotus-like countenance, with ruddy eyes, like the interior of a lotus, and a swarthy body, like the petals of a blue lotus. He bears a conch, discus, and mace in three of his hands. Purport. It is definitely recommended herein that one concentrate his mind upon the form of Vishnu. There are 12 different forms of Vishnu, which are described in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. One cannot concentrate his mind on anything void or impersonal. The mind should be fixed on the personal form of the Lord, whose attitude is cheerful, as described in this verse. Bhagavad Gita states that meditation on the impersonal or void features is very troublesome to the meditator. Those who are attached to the impersonal or void features of meditation have to undergo a difficult process because we are not accustomed to concentrating our minds on anything impersonal. Actually, such concentration is not even possible. Bhagavad Gita also confirms that one should concentrate his mind on the Personality of Godhead. The color of the Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is described here as nilotpala dala, meaning that it is like that of a lotus flower with petals tinted blue and white. People always ask, why Krishna is blue? The color of the Lord has not been imagined by an artist. It is described in authoritative scriptures. In the Brahma Samhita also, the color of Krishna's body is compared to that of a bluish cloud. The color of the Lord is not poetical imagination. There are authoritative descriptions in the Brahma Samhita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and many of the Puranas of the Lord's body. His weapons and all other paraphernalia, the Lord's appearance is described here as Padma Gaba Runekshanam. His eyes resemble the inside of a lotus flower, and in his four hands he holds the four symbols, a conch shell, discus, mace, and lotus. Om Agyan Smitam Dasha Chananjanan Chalake Tekshuram Ganitam Dina Tashmai Shri Devi Nama Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Karatha Shiva Shari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has a cheerful lotus-like countenance with ruddy eyes like the interior of a lotus and a swarthy body like the petals of a blue lotus. He bears a conch, discus, and a mace and three of his hands. So here is a description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who lives in everyone's heart. He is the actual object of all meditation, according to all the authoritative scriptures. But we never heard of that before. We've heard of yoga so many times. We've heard of yoga and different types of yoga. But we've never heard of Vishnu, who is actually the goal of yoga. Ultimately, he is to be meditated on. They have yoga for health, yoga for enjoyment, yoga for realizing Brahman, yoga for realizing yourself. So you never hear anybody, at least we never heard of anybody saying that, no, the purpose of yoga is to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who sits in the heart as the Paramatma. He is the actual object of meditation. But the idea is, all these different aspects or goals of meditation, they're given by different kinds of personalities. Here, the system is correct, the truth is correct, that yoga meditation, our mind should be concentrating on something. But when these systems are given and they're handed down from person to person, they lose their, they don't lose their purity, but it gets covered by the, or tainted by the person who's presenting the philosophy. Whatever his angle of vision is, he will have he'll influence it. By his influence, he'll put that in, his influence will go on the philosophy, and therefore you come out with so many different goals of the philosophy, because it's always influenced by the presenter of the philosophy. And when it's handed down again and again and again, it gradually becomes influenced and changed. So here the actual goal is meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But we may say, why these yoga systems at all? Because Krishna, he says he's known by devotion, so why all these systems are here in yoga systems? It's a long, complicated process we've been reading about. We have to constantly control the senses, control the mind, fix the concentration on the tip of the nose, and then you get your perfection. So why is that? Why so much is emphasized is control, sense control, mind control? So the purpose of sense and mind control is generally to understand the self. Most philosophers, they bring into some point of self-realization. Whatever that self-realization is, it's one of happiness. The goal is happiness. Whether you call it Brahman, self-realization, or nirvana, it's a state of happiness. So controlling the mind and senses to come to a state of reaching this happiness. Brahma Bhuta Prashanatma, Krishna says. When you realize yourself, it's joyful. Prashana, same word is used here. Cheerful. Prashana. Cheerful. You're trying to attain something very cheerful, something very happy, something very pleasing. Ananda, Brahmananda, whatever it is, but it's always happiness. That goal is that they're finally seeking. So here is what, this is the reason why all these systems of yoga are given, of sense control, mind control, to come to this situation of happiness, prashanatma, Brahma Buddha, to enjoy the self, Krishna says, you're enjoying. So, The idea is control to enjoy. So we've heard this term so much in classes, how we are in this material world, we are have the controlling and enjoying mentality. It's just Krishna's mentality, but we've adopted it. And now we want to control to enjoy. And so this is a very deep-rooted conditioning. It's not that, you know, the karmis, they're all after control and enjoy. We're devotees, we don't control and enjoy. We know Krishna's the supreme controller, the supreme enjoyer. But factually, it's with every activity we perform. This controlling and enjoying aspect. Just if you want to eat, you have to eat. You want to eat, what do? You make a plan to eat. You go to the kitchen. What do you do in the kitchen? You control. You control the pots and pans. You control the spices. You control the flame. Then you enjoy a meal. So controlling and enjoying. And when it's time to pass that out, you go to another place and you've controlled the bathroom. You've got your facilities there. You can, and then you enjoy the relief of the. So every little thing we do actually, it's control and enjoying. Every situation. This is just the nature of this world. How we're forced to act in this material world because of our forgetfulness of Krishna since time immemorial. But factually, we can experience. You have a circle of friends. Who are those friends? You control that. You know, I want this association, that association. I control it because then I can enjoy an association with people I like. I like to see some people every day. I don't like to see some people every day. I have my likes and dislikes. And I gather them around me, and that becomes my work. My music, what music I like, and the other music I don't like. So I surround myself with, I'm controlling. I'm controlling my life, my environment, my tastes. I pull them all around me, and I'm the enjoyer. And then I sit in the middle of that, and I'm enjoying. So everybody's creating their little world of enjoyment, because we're all imitation little gods. We can't control unlimitedly. That's Krishna's position, but we're doing it on a small scale. And factually, that's all that's going on, is this actual controlling and enjoying. And practically, that's my identification. Think about it. It's factually our identification. What other identification do we have? So it's such a strong conditioning. But now we are trying to dovetail that nature, that controlling joy nature, into spiritual life. But we find that the progress is so slow because we are so habituated. And habit is second nature. Someone was giving class the day before yesterday. Habit. Habit is second nature, and it's so strong. It's very, very difficult to give up this habit. Because not only this birth we've been there, but since time immemorial. So it's caused the jiva, because of misidentification, caused by this beginningless ignorance, we understand from the earlier chapters how we were born in this material world when the creation started and how we were created like as bodies, born in different bodies. It was simply a permutation of the modes of material nature mixed with false ego, that's all. The false ego interacting with the different permutations. That's what we're dealing with. Three modes of material nature influence, and now the false ego influence or acts with the three modes and the permutations. That is our actual identity. And we're nothing to do with the modes of nature. We're nothing to do with the false ego. What else do we have? What other consciousness do we have? So this is this material world that's presented like that. That's all it is. It's ignorance from the very beginning. And we can't see the woods for the trees. We can't see out. We don't have a station where we can view from. Because everywhere is ignorance. So therefore this idea of becoming self-realized, Brahman-realized, then at least you have a Brahman platform. From that platform, then you can see very clearly. You're out of the illusion. Dense, dark forest of the illusion, Krishna says. And then Krishna says, when you reach that platform, then you become indifferent to everything that's been heard and everything that will be heard. But now we're very much influenced about what's going on, what we're hearing, what we're doing. We're influenced by everything. But when you reach that platform, when you can step out, then Krishna says you become indifferent. You don't have to act, and your consciousness is in a different situation. It's not forced to go along with this material consciousness. So, the living entity, because of his ignorance, he is thinking that this activity of controlling and enjoyment, this is my nature. Activity to bring enjoyment, it's my nature. That's what we do. We're performing activities to get some enjoyment. Whatever we do, we perform it. And I think this is me. This is my identity. It is me. But actually, it's not my nature, it's the nature of the mind. It's the mind, the illusion, the happiness, the distress, all these different dualities of this material world are all actually qualities of the mind. They're created by the mind, and the mind is experiencing all these things. But I'm thinking it's me, I'm identifying with it. But it's not me, I'm not the body, I'm not the mind. But due to this beginningless ignorance, we're so habituated to identify now with the mind and body. And so I think, when the illusions and the enlightenment, okay, it's my illusion, it's my enlightenment, it's my happiness, it's my distress. And I think it is my nature. It's not my nature, it's the nature of my mind, which I am not. So this is how strong this illusion is, how clever Krishna is, that he's designed it in this way. And we can't even see it. It never lets up for 1 second, material nature. You never catch Maya off guard and say, you see, your whole illusion is, for 1 second, anywhere in any part of the universe, she is fully, fully attentive to her service to Krishna. Never a second does she let up that you can actually see what's happening here. This is our determination. As relentless as Maya is, I will be relentless in my service to Krishna. It's my service to Krishna, Maya Devi. But as relentless as she is, I will take the lesson instead of being influenced. But I'll be as relentless as Maya in my service to Krishna also. I am never going to let up even for half a second. Because the moment we let up for half a second, Maya is there. So we can learn from Maya how good servant she is. We can become determined as Maya Devi. She never lets up for a second in her illusory process program. So we won't let up for a second in our service to Krishna. In this way we can try and break the habit. Of this control and enjoying, and understand it's not our real nature. Our real nature is to control for Krishna's pleasure, for Krishna's enjoyment. Control and enjoyment are there, we're not giving up control and enjoyment, but now control for Krishna's pleasure, for Krishna's enjoyment. That is our real nature. Prabhupada says you're very, very expert at enjoying, controlling and enjoying. You're very, very expert, because that's what you've been doing. You know very well how to enjoy. So you have the experience, Prabhupada said. Now use that experience to please Krishna. You know very well how to enjoy. Nobody takes a guru to tell him how to enjoy. We're very expert. Now use that expertise in bringing pleasure to Krishna. So therefore, yoga system, because we have this propensity to lord it over and enjoy it, to control and enjoy it, therefore the yoga system, control, control, control. To dovetail that propensity. Otherwise Krishna says, you don't have to control it, I'm the controller, and I'm the enjoyer. Why don't you just strengthen me and serve me? You don't have to practice all this yoga. I'm Yogeshwara. And I'm the goal of the yoga. So if you want that, you can be with me. But because of this strong, strong conditioning, here is a system of controlling to enjoy it. So control the senses, control the mind, then you can enjoy it. So that's why the yoga is a system, because we just can't take immediately bhakti, which Krishna is giving. So therefore he comes and he gives the all these different systems. And it's practically it's all the same thing. Whether it's Varnashram, it's nothing but a system of sense and mind control. Krishna's very cleverly instituted a social system which unknowingly is you're controlling your senses and mind. You know, nobody's in Varnashram society says, you know, we yogis, we're controlling our senses. No, they're doing their work relating in as society, but because it's according to the divisions of the Varnashram and the orders of Mano's law, then it's actually a system of self-control. So they're not purposely doing it for self-control, but out of, you know, because it's pious to do that, we should do it. So they're living pious lives, and automatically it's designed in such a way, Krishna designed it in such a way that the control is there. So therefore you get from brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. It's a progression from the mode of ignorance, from the mode of passion, from the mode of goodness. So it's Krishna's design. It's a very, very wonderful program. That simply by following it, you'll slowly become purified. So there must be some control in anything we do, but the goal is happiness. The kami, he has to work hard. He has to control his senses. He doesn't want to go out and work hard. But he has to do it. So austerity is there, control is there. Then he gets his money, then he enjoys it. So that there has to be control and enjoying that, because that's the way it is. So this is the situation we're facing in this material world. How strongly bound up we are. How difficult it is to get out of this entanglement. But Krishna says it is easy if you surrender to me. That's all I ever want you to do, is surrender to me. But if you can't, then I give so many systems of yoga and self-realizations. So, so here is the proper conclusion. What is the actual purpose of that yoga? Here, Krishna is there. It's in the heart. He's got a cheerful, lotus-like countenance with beautiful reddish eyes, like the interior of a lotus, and a swarthy body, like the color of a blue lotus, blue and whitish. So Prabhupada says, people always ask, why is Krishna blue? Because his mother is blue. I've got a white body because my mother is white. You've got a brown body because your mother is a brown body. So Krishna's mother, Jasoda, she has a darkish complexion, a bluish dark complexion. It's natural. It's an answer. Why? Why is Krishna blue? Because his mother's blue. Why are you that color? Because your mother's that color. And Prabhupada said, because Krishna's body is blue, then his effulgence from him is also as a bluish tint. And because that effulgence reflects in the material world as the sunshine and it illuminates everything, so when you look up, you see a blue sky. Because it's coming from the body of Krishna. It's effulgence. It's not another color, it's blue. So that light is coming from Krishna's body. See? He has a blue body. Therefore, we can understand he has a blue body because the sky is blue. So, it's never meant for meditation on any kind of void or any kind of impersonal understanding, which is generally the main idea of yoga we get nowadays. But hardly anyone is talking about the personality of Godhead situated in the heart. So here Bhagavatam is giving, is authoritative, and Kapila is an incarnation of the Lord, and he's giving the authoritative description of that Supreme Lord that is in your heart. And he's just waiting for us to turn to him. Prabhupada said he's just waiting for that moment when you will turn to him. He's with us all the time. Therefore he's the greatest friend. Suridam Sarvabhutanam. He never left our side. He's such a great friend. Even when we took the body of a frog or something like that, he also went with us. He never left, simply waiting for us to turn our attention to him. And say, yes, he is. This is the point of all the yoga. This is your culmination of being in the material world. It's to understand me. So he's simply waiting for that. So he's given us all opportunities. And not only understand that he will reveal himself in the heart, then you'll become prasanna, you become joyful. Because Krishna is joyful. So our nature is also joyful because we're the same nature as Krishna. Not only will he reveal himself in the heart, he'll reveal himself in everyone else's heart. Then you won't have to do yoga in a secluded place because everywhere you go, everything you do, you'll be with Krishna, your friend. Because you'll see him everywhere within the heart of everyone. And everywhere you go, there are people. So you'll always be with your friend. No need to practice any other kind of. You've attained the goal of yoga. It's understanding Krishna. So he revealed himself in the heart of everyone. So it doesn't matter where you go in the world, you're always with your friend. Prabhupada called this universal love. Brotherhood of man. He said they're all talking up after brotherhood of man. Universal. He said, how many people you can love in this world? Just in one area where you live, how many you can't even, you love a handful, how many can you, what are they speaking of this universal love, universal brotherhood? You can't do it on a material platform, he said, it has to be done on a spiritual platform. And this is it, he said, when you understand Krishna in your heart and in the hearts of everyone, that you develop automatically universal love. You see I've never seen you before in my life. To love someone, you have to get to know them. Then you begin to love. I've never seen you before in my life, but I'm understanding the presence of my beloved Lord in your heart. My best friend is in your heart. He's my best. He's also your best friend because he's sitting in your heart. Automatically, I will have friendship and love that person because he's the best friend of my best friend. You don't need an introduction. If someone comes to your house, this is your relative, you haven't seen him. You never saw her actually, you've never seen your relative because she's in a different place. Oh, immediately you embrace your relative and your friends, you know. You can't do that to an ordinary person you meet. But a relative, immediately that you have that bondage, you see. So it's like that with Krishna. When you understand he's your best, and he's the best friend of the person he's sitting next to, there's immediate bondage of friendship, is there? You don't have to endeavor separate, it's just automatic. The feeling is automatic. So the universal love, universal brotherhood of man. This is the only way it's achieved, Prabhupada said, through realization, when the Lord reveals himself in the heart. And that's what he wants, that's all he's waiting to do. And we're simply using him like an order supplier. Bring me this, I like that. And he's supplying also. But he wants you to turn to him as a person, a loving person. We're very busy making our order supplier. But still, he's so kind, he still stays with us. Birth after birth after birth. So here is, now he's giving a description, a long description of the Lord. The different symptoms, his clothes, all of his ornaments. So a vivid, very vivid description is given here. So it's not, although it's in an imagination or anything like that, that Krishna is there. And he is simply waiting for us to turn to him. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Shri Prabhupada ki.